For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Menards is your electrical headquarters. We carry all the tools and testers you need for any electrical job. Stack up your toolbox with Southwire electrical products today. Right now, save big money on Southwire electrical tools, testers, cable ties, wire, and cable. Shop our huge selection in-store at Menards. Number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers, according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
From the alley-oop to Keysaw to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick, it's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers cutback.
Welcome to the Red and Bald Show. This is our very first mailbag session, and we're excited. We've heard from many of you different questions that you have, and so we're excited to jump into this. I am Mark Adams, one of your hosts. You can find me at 49ers Camelot, and I'm joined by Anthony Robertson. You can find him at 49ers Cutback, and we are teaming up every Wednesday at 2 o'clock Pacific time for the Red and Bold Show. We started out on the PSF app, but now we're all over the place because we've become that famous. Right, Ant?
Right, yeah. It was humble beginnings for us. It was interesting. The very first show we ever did, we didn't really have much interaction before that, just some texts and stuff. And now it feels like we are very comfortable working together and we have a good rapport, and It's been a lot of fun. I've really been enjoying it. And every Wednesday, I look forward to these episodes because I just know it's going to be a good time. And we're going to have a bunch of good people in chat that are going to help support us along the way. So, I've really been enjoying the Red and Bold Show since the inception. And just continuing to enjoy it as we go through the off season. Always talking to Mark is always a good day. And everyone should make sure they subscribe to his channel because he does good work. And if you're not subscribed to his channel, you should be reading his stuff on 49ers Web Zone because he's got lots of good stuff that he puts out there too.
Yeah, we're coming up on a year of doing the Red and Bold Show, and so it's been a lot of fun. I remember when we first started and they told us that we had to be live during the 49ers games. I think we did like 8 games or something like that, and just thinking, man, I don't know that I've ever talked for 3 hours through a football game. But hey, it worked out. There was one game that you had a family thing, and so I did it by myself, and I thought, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. But I made it through the whole game and just talked seemingly to myself, but worked out fine. And here we are all these months later talking about a new 49ers football season that's coming up. So let's jump in here to the mailbag. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to read these questions that came from 49ers fans, give a quick response, let you give a quick response, and then we'll move on to the next one. And if we have time for any questions in the chat, we'll get to those. But thanks, everybody, for joining us here. And for those that get into the chat, we appreciate it. So here's the first question from Kevin. What happened with the Aiyuk meeting yesterday, which actually would have been Monday? And do you feel he will be a Niner long term? Well, there wasn't really any information that came out of that, although Tom Pelissero today did say that he was told the meeting, he used the word good, that the meeting was good, that there was no trade request from Aiyuk. So that sounds really positive. I do still think that Aiyuk is going to be with the team long term. I think they're going to figure something out, but I just think that right now the holdup is money. I think that what Aiyuk wants and what they are willing to pay, they're just not quite there yet.
If you're going to bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Yeah, I'm right with you. And listening to what Tom Pelissero said, I had the same sort of feelings. Now that it comes out that it was at least a good, constructive conversation, is basically how he's portraying it, means that, hey, they're at least having conversation. You can't have a deal without conversation. It'd be worse if neither side was talking. So the fact that Brandon Aiyuk kind of went out on his own, and he did this a couple weeks ago with the report that he said he wanted to be in San Francisco. His family is here. Everything's here. That's a little bit off the beaten path from what normally happens from a player at this moment. I think he was trying to rally fan support, like, hey, I want to be here, but, you know, they're not doing the thing that they're supposed to do to help me be here. And then last week it was a TikTok video. He's been trying to drum up some leverage, and it just hasn't worked out. So he said, you know what? I'm not getting this done. Let's just go to the table. Let's just meet and have a conversation. I think now both sides are at least clear on what the other's expecting, and now they can try to move forward. But until there's a deadline, this deal is probably not going to get done. And so I think we're still moving forward. I don't know exactly what it's going to take for Aiyuk. I don't know if the money he wants is Amon-Ra St. Brown's money or now he wants more. I think that's a good question. I think it always comes down to the same things. He wants guaranteed money. He wants security, and he wants to feel wanted. And the 49ers at some point are going to have to try to make that happen. But I do think he's going to be playing for the 49ers in 2024. There's nothing to make me believe anything otherwise. So Aiyuk will be here. Just will they get a deal done? I expect it to probably get done in training camp. I've never wavered on that. But this is just another step in the roller coaster ride that is signing a player to a new contract. And with wide receivers, it seems like it's always the worst.
Yeah. And there was the thing yesterday, I believe it was, when he responded to a social media post, something to the effect of, wait, but I thought the 49ers weren't wanting to trade me. I think it was when there was that, maybe Adam Schefter is the
one. It was.
I think it was Schefter that said that there was talks with Washington and that didn't work out. So probably still some drama ahead, but hopefully this will be resolved. Hopefully in about a month. I think they report on, what is it, July 23rd or something like that. So hopefully right around that time, we'll see Brandon Aiyuk sign his deal, get him into camp so that he can be ready. All right, next question comes from Sasha. Are you sold on Brock Purdy? If so, which game was it that sold you? I am sold on Brock Purdy. I don't think it was a particular game for me. It was last season. So how he came back from the UCL with no offseason to work with his teammates to fine-tune his craft, and yet he came out and threw for over 4,000 yards, had a great season. That's really the course of last season was when he won me over. I was impressed with his rookie season. But this time last year, I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, I actually was thinking, okay, we're going to see Trey Lance probably start about four games. Then maybe Purdy comes back. Who knows what he's going to look like? And instead, he comes in, he practices. What was it? I think he'd practice for 2 days and then be off a day during training camp or something like that. Or practice three and be off one, and he hit the ground running from day one, week one in Pittsburgh, and never looked back. That's what sold me. Ant, where are you at on Brock Purdy?
I think it was a totality of things, just like you're saying. I don't think it was a game that really made me think, oh, Brock Purdy is that guy. I am sold on Brock Purdy, but it's because of some of the things he did. I think the first time that I really started to think, hey, maybe this guy has got something, was actually in his first start. He's playing against Tom Brady. Tampa Bay comes in, and it's the first play of the game. He gets absolutely destroyed on a blitz off the edge. And a rookie quarterback normally would crumble at that moment. We've seen it happen before. But Brock Purdy not only didn't crumble, but he showed even more confidence after that. And I think that was the first moment. Then you fast forward a little bit, and he's playing in Seattle with injured ribs, and he's got the presence of mind to run and then slide and put the ball out in front of him and get a first down. You start seeing things that are beyond his years as far as intelligence and football understanding. And then you're right, all the adversity coming through the playoffs and all the adversity of the injury, and he just steps right in. And nobody can say anything about his coolness in the pocket. He is absolutely one of the most calmest guys in the pocket that I've ever seen. There's just no frantic. There's no panic. It's just a comfortable player in the pocket, and he looks to find the players, and he usually deciphers coverage exactly right and gets his playmakers the ball where it's supposed to get. That is the name of the game, and I think Brock Purdy does it at a high level. I think that there was probably two or three games last year towards the beginning of the year where I'm like, wow, Brock Purdy is not just a good quarterback, but he's an absolutely great quarterback. And I don't think anyone, I don't know how you're not sold on Brock Purdy by now. Just the things that he's been through in the short time he's been a quarterback, this guy is a legit starter in this league. And in my opinion, a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah. And, you know, all you have to do is look at some of his characteristics. You mentioned that he's really calm in the pocket. When there's pressure, He's cool. And I mean, that reminds me of Joe Montana, how he was just so calm, even in those big moments. I like that Brock throws an accurate, catchable ball that his receivers can grab and pick up some yak with. I mean, that was something that we always heard about Montana and Steve Young, that they would throw these really accurate catchable balls that would allow Rice and Taylor and Brent Jones and those guys to pick up extra yardage. So I'm not saying Brock's going to be Steve or Joe, but I like where he's at, and I think that he has some good characteristics, and he's sneaky athletic.
He is. I mean, the scrambles that he had in the playoff run, especially against Detroit, those were game changers. Those were moments that you look back on and you're like, if Brock isn't able to create outside the pocket, the 49ers don't win that game. He is just very good at what he does, and you could see the calmness. I mean, the guy is crazy. I think we have higher heart rates watching the game than he does sitting in the pocket throwing the football. That's just, it's different, right? That's that elite characteristic that you can't find in a lot of players, but he has it. Just that calmness of being right where his feet are at. He just does a great job with it. To me, I think Brock Purdy, that's part of what makes him great, but also an elite processor of information. Yeah. He can see things quickly and get the ball out right where it's supposed to be. That is his, as Steve Young says, superpower, because he does do it at a higher level than a lot of quarterbacks in this league who have to use their God-given abilities more so than Brock, where his elite processing is his big strength.
Next question is from Justin, who asked, what part of the Ayuk deal do you think is holding up negotiations? We already kind of hit on that. It's, you know, for me, it's probably the money. You mentioned guaranteed money. And so I would say probably one or a combination of those two things. That's what it's going to come down to. There's not, you know, with when we were going through this 2 years ago with Deebo Samuel, there was talk that he didn't want to be the he didn't want to have to play running back anymore. I don't know that he ever said that, but that was something that was being discussed with Nick Bosa last year. There probably were some different dynamics to it, but I would say Ayuk is and has in his mind what he wants. The 49ers have in their mind what they want to pay, and they're just not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, the rumor was that came out this week was that the 49ers offered him a three-year deal that would have paid him about $26.8 million, very close to the Michael Silver report that he got offered $26 million, and that happened before the draft. And so to me, if you're that close to $27 million, I think you're seeing that you're not that far apart when it comes to money per year. My guess is language and guaranteed money and actual guaranteed money is probably going to be a big part of this, because when you look at Amon-Ra St. Brown's deal, yeah, I know TJ Houshmandzadeh said that's what Brandon Ayuk wants, but if you really look at Amon-Ra's contract, there's not that much guaranteed money in that $120 million deal. It's not as good as it could be. So I'm sure they want more guaranteed money and they just haven't been able to get that done yet. But we'll see what that number actually looks like. But I don't think they're as far away as maybe it appears right now.
Next question is from William. He asked, when will 49ers players learn that Kyle and John cannot stand talkers and stop talking contract issues to social media and the press? Well, I think that this is the new way.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of negotiating for NFL players, especially wide receivers. And so I don't think that that they're all going to do this, but we are seeing it more often, especially with these situations where, like with the 49ers, how they take longer into the summer, we're going to see that stuff more. Now, I also think that what we've seen, whether it's Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, there were some issues there when George Kittle had his contract thing going on. He wasn't doing quite the same stuff, but I do seem to remember that he was kind of frustrated. I think that when it's a star player, they're going to be able to get away with more. Now, if Ronnie Bell comes to the toward the end of his contract and he starts doing this, I don't think it's going to go over as well. And so I think that you might see things differently. Not that Ronnie Bell is going to do that, but I don't think that this way of handling things like what some of the players are doing now is going to go away anytime soon.
No, I don't either. I think that they have to find a way to create pressure and create leverage to put that on the front office, because if they don't, they really have no leg to stand on. I mean, Brandon Ayuk right now is under contract for $14.1 million for his fifth-year option, and guess what? That's what he agreed to when he signed his rookie deal. So there's really no recourse for him. He could demand a trade. That doesn't mean he's going to get traded. So there's really nothing he can do besides play the game in social media, play the game with the fan base, and hope that the fan base starts rallying with all their hashtags, pay Ayuk, the way they did pay Kittle and pay others. You just have to try to play it that way. Debo did it in his contract negotiations, and really his agent had every single one of his players doing that, from DK Metcalf to AJ Brown to Debo Samuel. This is the name of the game. If you don't have leverage, you're trying to find a way to get it. And I just don't think that Brandon Ayuk has any recourse. So the 49ers know they hold all the cards, and that's why it's so frustrating for a player, because they're stuck. And as long as you're stuck, you're looking for a way out. And so I know it's going to be tough, but Debo's comments just a few weeks ago said, hey, he's just got to go between the agent and the team, and you've got to be patient, and you try not to take it personal, even though you do take it personal. Debo basically foreshadowed what we're seeing now. And I think at some point they'll get it done, but I fully understand why the players use social media, and I don't think the team holds it against the premier players. They know this is the name of the game, and so you just can't take it personal. It's business.
All right, here's our first tough question. This is from Joe. Who's more important between Debo and Ayuk? So I think that Ayuk is a better pure receiver. If I was making the decision, who am I going to keep long-term today, I probably would choose Ayuk based mainly on the way the two players play. Because Debo Samuel plays so physical, I just think he's going to continue to get injured more often, especially as he gets older. But at the same time, you can't ignore the fact that when the 49ers, when Debo Samuel's not in the game, not on the field, the 49ers offense struggled when I think Debo missed, what, three games last season, and they struggled to score in those games for the most part. So I don't know. What do you think? I probably would go Ayuk long term, but I also realize that that may be the wrong decision.
It's tough because this isn't an apple to apples comparison. Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk are completely different players in how they're used within the offense. And I think a first argument against Debo Samuel would be, now Kyle Shanahan has Christian McCaffrey and he can do the things that Debo Samuel does. But let's not forget that in 2019, Kyle Shanahan wanted to have two of those guys. He wanted to have Debo and he wanted to have Jalen Hurd. So it's something that he's definitely looked at. I think when it comes to Ayuk, the bigger question is, can you find another wide receiver that does the things that he does? And I think when you look around the league, you start seeing guys that are in that top 15 wide receiver range that have just been drafted over the last 5 years that, yeah, those guys can do the things that Ayuk does for the most part. Now, find another player that does the things Debo does to the level that Debo does them. I don't know if there's that guy. I know McCaffrey is probably the closest, but the explosiveness that Debo has, the ability to make a home run play, is different than every other player on the 49ers, maybe besides George Kittle. George Kittle house calls plays and Debo does that. Ayuk has those moments, but for the most part, he's not the explosive touchdown guy. He has explosive plays. So it's an interesting conversation. I think they're two different guys who really benefit from playing together. But as far as longevity, Ayuk is obviously going to be in the league longer. He hasn't really had any injuries in his career. But I think Debo's new role has definitely changed, and maybe that'll make it easier for him to stay healthy. But Debo's just got that explosiveness. He's different. He's a game changer compared to a lot of players in this league. And that's why when he got $23 million, he got it from being a really good football player and a playmaker, not for being a wide receiver.
All right. Basil asked, are you concerned the 49ers may lose too many players after the season and have to rebuild? I'm not really that concerned that they're going to have to go into a rebuild mode. Now, is it possible they could have to let somebody go like they did with DeForest Buckner? That's possible. But I don't worry too much about a rebuild because, I mean, remember, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took over a team in 2017 that was horrid. That roster was terrible. And in 2 years, they built that roster to the point that they were 7 minutes away from winning the Super Bowl. If they were able to build an almost Super Bowl champion from nothing, then I think that they could take this roster that has a lot more talent, even if they lost some, you know, few players. They're going to be able to take that and build something really special, just like they were before. So I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, losing players is inevitable. And 9 starters are potentially going to be free agents next year. Of course, the 49ers could work on some contracts along the way, get some stuff done in training camp with some of these players and potentially lower that number. But the 49ers, they do this. It was not that long ago that they drafted and replaced Jaquiski Tartt. So Jaquiski Tartt goes out. Here comes Talanoa Fonga. Having players in waiting is what they do. Aaron Banks is going to be a free agent next year. Dominic Pooney is sitting, waiting, potentially to take that roster spot. They consistently do this. It is a draft and replace type of formula. You have to have guys in the pipeline. That way you're not rebuilding, you're reloading. And that's what they've been doing through the draft. They've had some success with it. Of course, with all things, sometimes it doesn't work out. You have to go get a free agent. And the 49ers have a lot of guys on one-year deals right now. That's part of the reason it looks a little bit more dire than it is. But they're signing players to these cheap one-year deals because players want to play in San Francisco because they know playing here not only gives them a chance to win and win a Super Bowl, but also gives them a chance to go and capitalize on the open market the next year and turn it into another contract. So I'm not worried about it. I've seen the overall plan for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan since 2017, and it's worked really well. And I'm not going to question them now that we're in year 8. They've got this thing figured out. They know what they're doing. And so I think they're just going to continue to keep building good football teams for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I agree. Dave asks, other than Brandon Ayuk, who is the next player entering the final year of their contract who you expect to receive a contract extension? So here are 5 candidates for that: Diamador Lenore, Dre Greenlaw, Talanoa Hufanga, Charvarius Ward, and Aaron Banks. I think that Lenore is the most likely. Obviously, we've got Ayuk and we've got Brock Purdy. But I think that Lenore is probably the most likely. He's young. He's only seems to be getting better. Charvarius Ward, I think, is less likely because I think that he's going to be really expensive unless they do some kind of deal before he gets to free agency. Greenlaw and Hufanga, I think we're going to have to see how they come back from their injuries. And like you mentioned, Aaron Banks, I think that he's about to play his last season for the 49ers. Who would be your top next in line for a new contract?
I think it would be Diamador Lenore. To me, he makes the most sense. You know, you've got a very capable starter, even if it's just playing nickel. You know, you got a guy that can do it, but we've seen him do both. So he's very capable. He's on the brink of, I think, breaking out. He had his hands on some footballs last year that if he makes those interceptions, I think the league is talking about him a lot differently. So I think the 49ers, it would be smart to get a deal done either before or during training camp for Lenore. Because I think the price tag is going to go up once he plays a really good season in 2024. So might as well get that deal done. That way you can start making decisions about other players. Maybe you want to end up bringing back Isaac Yedem and letting Charvarius Ward go if he's going to be wanting the top money that I think he's going to want. I think he's going to want to be paid the highest as far as cornerback in the league. So to me, Diamador Lenore makes the most sense. And then you kind of just work down from there with Hufanga and Greenlaw. They want both of those guys back, I guarantee it. But what are their injuries going to look like? I think training camp's going to kind of give us an idea of how quickly it'll be for Hufanga. And then when it comes to Dre Greenlaw, it's going to come later on. But they'll want to get something done. I think Dre wants to be here, but they're going to have to pony up and pay him a little bit more money than they did in the last contract.
Yeah. Vanessa asks, will Brock Purdy's new deal come next offseason, or will they wait until training camp in 2025 like they do the other star players? All right, you might disagree with me on this, but I actually think that they will work out something with Brock before training camp. So like whether it's Warner, Kittle, Bosa, Debo, Ayuk, they always seem to wait until the eve of training camp or at the beginning, or in Bosa's case, after training camp, and after the preseason. I don't think that you do that with your quarterback, though. I mean, they need Purdy to be part of the offseason program, getting those reps with his receivers, getting those reps with his offensive line. I don't know if he's going to, like, if they did work out something, but it's not until July. If I'm Brock Purdy, I don't know how comfortable I'm going to be practicing without that new deal. So I just kind of, I kind of think that they're going to work out something earlier in the offseason with Garoppolo in 2018. They did it right after the season, like early February, but he was a pending free agent, if I remember right. Same thing with Trent Williams. They worked him out a new deal real quick in March, but again, he was about to hit the market. So I don't think that they're going to wait as long on Purdy. I think that they'll work that out earlier in the offseason.
Well, it might be dangerous to wait, because every single time you wait, as far as a quarterback goes, somebody gets a new huge contract. What I'm hoping is that some of the contracts that have come out already are structured enough that the 49ers can have something put together that makes sense for them and for Brock Purdy. But I'm guessing they would like to know what Brock Purdy's contract is going to look like before they head into free agency next year. So I'm guessing they're going to go to him and try to get something done earlier than they most normally do. But we just don't know how these things are going to work out. I think everyone is kind of believing that Brock Purdy is going to be somewhat easy to work with when it comes to contract negotiations. But in the same way, the guy's just about to earn enough money to take care of his family for a long time. So it's going to be interesting. I think they will get Brock's deal done next year. Timetable-wise, I hope it's sooner rather than later. But we'll see. And hopefully they find a structure that works out for the 49ers and for Brock Purdy, that they can continue to be a player in the NFC and in Super Bowl by Brock Purdy using the contract the way that some of the other players have, Patrick Mahomes and others, to make sure they can defer money, they can keep restructuring their contract, so that way they can stay competitive as possible, even paying a big-time quarterback.
Okay, Josh asked, who's the most important defensive player this season? I mean, you're going to have guys like Warner and Ward, but for me, it's Bosa. He's the best player on the on the defense. He's one of the best players in the league. So I'm voting Nick Bosa. Who do you think is the most valuable, most important defensive player for the 49ers?
I think the most important player for the 49ers on defense this year is going to be Leonard Floyd, because it's going to be his success that's going to dictate how the rest of the defensive line goes. We haven't had a legitimate pass rusher opposite of Bosa since they had Dee Ford. So to me, this is the moment Leonard Floyd could potentially take this defense back to the direction it was back when they were one of the best defensive lines in the league. Because if he starts occupying double teams the same way Bosa is, that'll free up your interior defensive line. Malik Collins, Yetur Gross-Matos, when he moves inside, and also Javon Hargrave could have some opportunities to get some sacks. And then once they're getting double teamed, that means Bosa might see some single looks, and then Floyd sees some more single looks. So it's a cause and effect.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry. Only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Four guys working together, but it could pay huge dividends for the 49ers. That will help Nick Bosa. But I think guys like that, I think he's one of them. I think you look at the linebacker position, Devondre Campbell is going to be very pivotal to this season, and probably Isaac Yedem too. So you look at three phases, three different levels of defense. If those three guys play really well, the 49ers defense is really, really good this year. And if they stumble and they don't live up to expectation, it might be a little bit more difficult as the season progresses.
Yeah, I can't agree with or can't disagree with any of those. But I just go back to 2020 when they lost Nick Bosa for the season, and it did not go well. But he wasn't the only one they lost. They lost Garoppolo. They lost others. So don't want to see that happen again. William asks, will Kyle ever hire an OC again? No. I mean, maybe he hires somebody that's going to take some of the work off of him, but he's the offensive coordinator. He's the play caller. He's not going to find somebody that's going to be able to do it better. So as far as hiring a replacement for himself, no. But if he's asking, will he ever hire somebody to take a load off of what he's doing, then that's possible. But he's not going to hire somebody that's going to do what he does.
No one's ever going to call plays for Kyle Shanahan. And why would someone call plays for Kyle Shanahan? He's the best offensive play caller in the entire league. And so the same way Sean McVay is not going to hire an offensive coordinator to call plays for him, Kyle Shanahan's not. And he has guys. He has a run game coordinator. He has a pass game coordinator strategically helping him put together game plans, look at plays that would work against certain defenses. He's very collaborative. That was Mike McDaniel's word for Kyle Shanahan. So even though he doesn't have an offensive coordinator, he does have people that help him structure and get together a game plan. So there's different eyes on it. And we've seen those guys that are jumping from those positions. Look at Clint Kubiak. He went and became an offensive coordinator again, just coming in for 1 year as pass game coordinator. Now he's brought in Mick Lombardi to be a senior offensive assistant. He's got Clay Kubiak. He's got guys that really understand football. But Kyle Shanahan is the best play caller. I can't see him hiring an offensive coordinator unless it was just to keep someone from leaving by giving them a promotion. But they already know they're not calling plays. Kyle Shanahan's going to handle that.
I want to get to this question from Leon. He asks, do you think they drafted Garendo to be a wide back in development, big, strong, fast wide receiver turned running back?
I think Isaac Garendo's, you know, where he's going to play has been an interesting conversation this offseason. I never saw it coming. I thought this guy was just a running back that they drafted to play running back because he runs a 4.3 and he's got the ability to run the outside zone and be a home run hitter. But some have put it out there. They see him as a fullback. Some say that they see him as an H-back. I don't think that's the case. I do believe that his wide receiver skills, what he did in high school, definitely make him attractive as far as catching the ball in the backfield as a running back. But I think you're looking for guys who have that mold that you can shift out and use them in that way. So the way McCaffrey's used, I think that's just the way the whole division and the whole league is going is, hey, let's get that running back that can do both and make it tougher for matchups for linebackers. So I think that's how Garendo is going to be used.
All right. Next question is from John. This one I had to do a little bit of homework on, because he wrote in the past Super Bowl, when we got the ball with 2 minutes left to go in the game with fourth and one, why didn't you go for it? We have big Trent Williams in motion, George Kittle, lead blocker juice, followed by the best running back in the league and CMC. 1 yard. If we get it, we can run the clock down to nearly nothing and still get points, whether touchdown or field goal. Seriously, I need to know. Well, I couldn't remember a fourth and one late in the Super Bowl, whether it was in regulation or overtime. So I went back and looked at the play-by-play. There wasn't a fourth and one. There was a fourth and five with just under 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's when they kicked the field goal to take the lead. Then in overtime, they had a fourth and four at the 9 yard line with 7:22 left in overtime. That was when Burford missed the block on Chris Jones. Purdy had to throw it away, and Moody kicked his third field goal of the game. There's no need to talk about what happened after that, but there wasn't a fourth and one. Did you remember anything like that? Because I didn't, and when I went back and looked, I didn't see one.
No, I don't remember that scenario. I remember the ones that you're talking about. The one that stands out the most is the one in overtime. You have Juwan Jennings open. You have Brandon Ayuk open. Ayuk just doesn't have time because Spencer Burford self-admittedly made a mistake, and that's unfortunate. And that's what happens when John Feliciano got hurt, and a lot of people forget John Feliciano should have been in there and would have blocked Chris Jones, and that's what happens. Dre Greenlaw goes out. Travis Kelce starts making plays. John Feliciano gets hurt. And all of a sudden, you have a younger player who makes a critical mistake. Like Chris Forster said, I can't get you ready for every single thing you're going to see. You have to know the rules, and you have to be able to adjust on the fly. That didn't happen, and the 49ers paid for it. But no, fourth and one, I think in that situation, I wouldn't be shocked if Kyle goes for it because he knows you got to make sure you can put Kansas City away. And he didn't want to kick that field goal, but fourth and five, you don't want to give them the ball with a chance to kick a field goal and win with Harrison Butker. So, yeah, I think that it was a tough situation, but I don't remember fourth and one.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is if the block is made, let's say he hits Juwan Jennings for the game winner. Most likely Jennings is the Super Bowl MVP. If not, it's Brock Purdy. But the other thing that I thought was interesting to think about is that Brandon Ayuk was wide open. So if Purdy has time, let's say he doesn't go Jennings' way, he finds Ayuk, how is this contract negotiation different? Is it any different? Or is he going to come in and say, hey, I caught the game winner in the Super Bowl. I finally got you your Super Bowl. Now give me my money. That would have been an interesting thing to add to the negotiation.
Oh, I guarantee he would have been putting that out there 100%. It would have started that night. I mean, the way that things were happening, it would have started that night, and there would be more pressure from the fan base to get Brandon Ayuk under contract and pay him whatever he needs. I guarantee that would have been a statement, because that's just it's different when somebody does something big to win you a game, and you never forget those guys. So, yeah, it could have changed everything, and Ayuk was wide open. He made a great – it would have been a great play. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it didn't happen. But what about Juwan Jennings? If he caught that ball and gets a touchdown, he would have been the MVP of the game. And we would be talking about Juwan Jennings. He wouldn't have got this, you know, contract that he got. He would have got more than that. So, yeah, two guys right there with a block by Burford that could have got paid tremendously more and had a lot more leverage to do so. And I think the whole offseason would have just felt a little bit different.
Yeah. Leon followed up to the question earlier. What's the difference between a wide back and a running back that gets used often in the passing game?
Well, the difference is a wide back is a wide receiver who also lines up in the backfield. That's the coined phrase from Debo Samuel. So that's different. It's a wide receiver adjusting. When it comes to a running back that can catch the ball in the backfield, that has kind of just been, you know, something that they've evolved into. So it's a little bit of a different type of thing, because a running back is definitely going to be better in the backfield than a wide receiver, but a wide receiver is better when it comes to catching the ball than a running back. So it's just a different term, and that's why they had to have a wide back compared to a running back. But expectations on a running back are now to do those things in the passing game. I don't think it's seen to be a player like that can do it like McCaffrey. I think he's a rare unicorn that can do it at that level. He could have played slot receiver in the league. So just a little bit different between the two.
All right, two more questions, and then I've got to roll out of here. So Ed asks, what is your opinion on the 49ers' week 9 bye? Is it too early, too late, or just right in the season? I definitely think it's just right. You don't want to be too early. You don't want to be too late. I like where their bye is at.
Yeah, the last 2 years they've had bye in the same exact spot. It always happens right around my birthday, so thanks for that. And yeah, it's. I think it's perfect timing. You want it in the middle of the season, so that way you can have a day to, or a week to rest, and then get back to business for that push for the playoffs. And you're hoping that you're going to get a second bye by getting home field advantage and the number one seed. And if you do that, you set yourself up really well to have another deep playoff run.
Yeah, Kenny here is trying to stir things up. He's saying that that's a bold take that Kyle sabotaged the Super Bowl to keep salaries low. I don't think that's what you were saying, but it's still
definitely
fun.
Definitely would never say that because I don't think Kyle Shanahan would sabotage the Super Bowl
no way.
I mean, yeah. You talk about putting yourself in a different category, something you've wanted to do your entire life. He would. All day, every day, he'll pay these players as much as he can to win that Super Bowl. That's just different.
All right, last questions from Anja. Where can I get my wife a Dan Buns jersey? That was not one that I expected to hear. I don't know if they would have Dan Buns jerseys in the team store at Levi's Stadium. I kind of doubt it, but I did a quick Google search and I found a signed one. Of course, Dan Buns was one of the ones that he made a key goal line stop that helped the 49ers win their first Super Bowl. And so he's a legend among 49ers fans, but that's probably not the easiest jersey to find. Have you ever seen a Dan Buns jersey out there?
I've seen people wear a Dan Buns jersey. Every time we go to training camp, there's always an interesting jersey that I see, and I have seen a Dan Buns jersey. But finding it in the old Mitchell and Ness style would be really difficult to find. I think that if you just want a more modern Dan Buns jersey, you can go to NFL Shop. They have Create a Jersey. Go ahead, put number 57, nice. Throw Buns on the back, and there you go, a Dan Buns jersey. But finding the old version, now that would be very, very difficult to do. You could probably do something with, I'm sure they have some knockoffs out there. I don't know. But like you said, unless you get a signed one, I don't know how else you find one. Just a modern day one, though, you could definitely get that made on NFL Shop.
Yeah. So a lot of great questions today. This was fun. Sorry to cut things short, but I need to get out of here. Leon said, I saw a Borland jersey in the wild once. Chris Borland was one of the ones that we thought was going to be great, and then remember Patrick Willis abruptly retired and we were like, oh, that's horrible. But at least we still have Borland. And then he retired right after that. So that was a rough offseason when they lost Harbaugh and they lost Justin Smith and they lost Anthony Davis and gosh dang. And Navarro Bowman, he was still dealing with that knee injury coming back from that. So that was a tough time. But anything else before we take off here?
No, I had a lot of fun answering questions from the faithful, and I look forward to doing more mailbags in the future. It's a lot of fun just getting people's thoughts and the questions that are on their minds, because you don't always see that perspective because you have questions in your own mind. But what other people are seeing is completely different. And I like that. And I like the fact that we get to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, they're fun to do, especially in the off season. They're fun to do after wins, but I do them every week during the football season for 49ers Web Zone. And I can tell you, after losses, the vibe is totally different. And so they're not as much fun. And there's a lot of angry ones that I have to sift through, a lot of fire Shanahan, fire the defensive coordinator type questions and statements. And And so those are more interesting for sure. But hey, thanks everybody for joining us. Please take a minute to like and subscribe. Go to 49ers Cutback, go to 49ers Camelot and subscribe. We would appreciate it and hope that we see you back here next week for another episode of the Red and Bold show. I almost forgot the name there for a second. I'm on very little sleep, so give me a break. Y'all have a good rest of your week.
This episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. You guys truly are the best. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.